The Sacramento Kings have their third point guard. Welcome to Sacramento, Matthew Dellavedova, reuniting with his former head coach at Cleveland, Mike Brown. I'll share with you why this is an incredibly low risk, potentially solid, not high, but solid reward for the Sacramento Kings. Plus, what does De'Aaron Fox have to do to be an all-star this season? We'll discuss it on today's episode of the Locked On Kings podcast.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it is that time for another episode of Locked On Kings.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Kings, your podcast hub for Sacramento Kings coverage all regular season and all off season. My name is Matt George. I have the pleasure of being your host here. I'm a Sacramento sports reporter and producer at ABC 10 News here in the California capital. And it's about time the Kings have their third point guard. We knew that was a position that they were still looking to fill, but we also knew that it wasn't going to be a big splash of a position for the Kings, right? When you're looking for your third point guard, you're looking for someone who essentially gives you insurance. In the event, knock on wood, all the wood around me, in the event that De'Aaron Fox gets injured or has a night off, in the event that Davion Mitchell gets injured or has a night off, you need a third guy who can come in and who can continue to carry the offense or pick up the slack a little bit. Now, in the event of De'Aaron Fox being out for any reason, Davion more than likely would step into that starting spot and Dellavedova would take that backup role, which is, I think, the most that Dellavedova is going to get. I mentioned in the intro, he is reuniting with his former head coach in Mike Brown. So Brown is obviously very familiar with who Matthew Dellavedova is, what he can do, what he can provide. And I'll share some of the things that I believe he is going to bring to the Sacramento Kings with his presence here. But again, we have to be realistic. And that's why I said that this is a very low risk, potentially solid reward, not high reward, which is typically that cliche or that saying low risk, high reward, right? It's not that, because again, being realistic, we're talking about third point guard Matthew Dellavedova at best could work himself into being a solid role player for the Kings. That is the best that he is going to work out for Sacramento. And to some, maybe that is a high reward. Maybe to the Kings for what they're signing him for, that is a high reward. But on a one-year partially guaranteed deal, ultimately, you're just looking for someone who is going to come in, who's going to provide depth, who is going to bring veteran leadership, which Dellavedova absolutely does bring, someone who's going to help this squad in practice, is going to get a lot of time in practice during practice time and during shoot-arounds to have his effect. Like, I'm really looking forward to seeing Matthew Dellavedova in training camp working with Davion Mitchell, working with or even against De'Aaron Fox. Like, Dellavedova brings a lot of good things that we're going to go into, but he's not a high reward because he's not someone who's going to become a supremely impactful player for the Sacramento Kings, even if they were to make the playoffs like he was in his time with Cleveland and even a little bit with Milwaukee. Like, if you remember, if you know anything about Matthew Dellavedova, or if anything comes to mind with Dellavedova, it's probably like Warriors-Cavs series or his time with the Cleveland Cavaliers when he was that harassing ball handler, or rather on ball defender, right? He was all over ball handlers. He would not allow them to have much space. He was an annoyance. He was a nuisance. He was like a fly to on ball, to point guards or shooting guards. He harasses them, right? He doesn't give them the space or the time or the comfort that they like or need to operate with on the offensive end of the floor. So what Matthew Dellavedova brings is he brings a defensive presence to Sacramento, right? He is defensive focused. That's really how he made his name for himself in the NBA. Offensively, he does have some skills, but that's not necessarily what he's known for. And I want to backtrack really quick, because the fact that the Kings have now made three straight signings off of Mike Brown's history is extremely significant to me, right? They signed these two players from the Nigerian national team to basically training camp invite, but real team contracts with the Sacramento Kings. Doesn't mean they're going to make the team, but they're on team contracts. They're coming into training camp. They have a chance to make the roster, make the rotation. And then you have Matthew Dellavedova, who is a former player of Mike Brown's. What that says to me, and I talked about this before, is once again, Mike Brown and Monty McNair are on the complete same page. And clearly, McNair and the Kings are valuing Mike Brown's opinion And Mike Brown is telling them, look, these are guys to potentially go out and get that I would really like to get. And look, two out of the three finalists, I guess you could say, for this third point guard position were former players for Mike Brown to some capacity. Matthew Dellavedova played under head coach Mike Brown in Cleveland, Quinn Cook. And again, both of them worked out with the Sacramento Kings during Las Vegas Summer League. Quinn Cook worked with Mike Brown, or at least was coached by Mike Brown as an assistant with the Golden State Warriors. So clearly Mike Brown's opinion, what Mike Brown is looking for, that's all being taken into account with what Monty McNair is trying to build and how he's trying to build his roster this offseason. And I really like that. I really like that. That says they are on the complete same page, which is what you would expect out of a general manager who finally got to hire their head coach, right? So I love to see that. But now with Dellavedova, first off, like I mentioned, he signed a one-year partially guaranteed deal. So it's not a massive deal for the Sacramento Kings. It's not going to hurt them in any way. There really is no risk to this deal. Dellavedova is a veteran. I think he's going to turn 32 here in September. Like, he comes to the Sacramento Kings with a clear role, which is when we need you, be ready to play. He's going to be a leader. He is going to be someone who provides a veteran presence. He's going to be someone that hopefully helps Mike Brown establish a team defensive identity and a team defensive culture. He's going to put pressure on the primary point guards for the Kings in practice. It's a solid pickup. Like, I don't think you can look at this and be disappointed anywhere or see that this is a waste of a spot or Quinn Cook would have been better. Quinn Cook is more offensively gifted, and I actually thought that this was going to be more of Quinn Cook's position than Matthew Dellavedova's at the time, but Quinn Cook provides more of an offensive approach, and Dellavedova provides more of a defensive approach. And it makes sense that Mike Brown, who is a defensive-minded coach with the Sacramento Kings, who are trying to implement more of a defensive-minded identity, who also added two offensive-minded shooter players in free agency and in trades in Kevin Huerter and in Malik Monk, it makes sense that they want to balance that out with some more defense. So I understand completely why Matthew Dellavedova was the selection here. But, I mean, if you're looking at his numbers in his time in the NBA, again, he's not a player that scores a lot. He's played 447 games in the NBA, averaged just 5.5 points, only around 2 rebounds and 3.7, so nearly 4 assists per game. His shooting splits are solid, 38% from the field. You wish that was higher, 36% from three-point range, so he can knock down an outside shot and help space the floor when he's in the game. Also an 84% free throw shooter. It's the steals that you would think would be higher for someone who is as pesky of an on-ball defender that he is, but he's never averaged a steal per game throughout his entire career. But again, he's most well known for his time with the Cleveland Cavaliers. The last time he was in the NBA was with Cleveland, his second stint with Cleveland in the 2020-2021 season, but he only played 13 games that year, had some injury issues, some concussion issues, and he ended up kind of sitting out that season. And then he went back to Australia, which he's a native Australian. And last season he played for Melbourne United in Australia, averaged 10.6 points per game, 4.9 assists, 3 rebounds a game, shot 40% from the field, 38% from three-point range, and 76% from the free throw line in 27 games, averaging 25 minutes per game. So that's a much more significant role there in Melbourne that he's going to have here in Sacramento, but he showed that he can still put up solid numbers. And I don't have really the defensive metrics for what he was able to do. Again, stat columns and box scores don't always properly reflect what a player can do defensively, but Dellavedova made a name for himself in the NBA being that guy who's just going to harass ball handlers, being that guy who is going to focus in and lock in on the defensive end of the floor. That's what I expect him to provide for the Kings. If he only plays a handful of minutes and a handful of games, I pretty much say that's a good thing for Sacramento. If he only plays 5, 10, 15 games in very limited minutes, that's a great thing, because that usually means that De'Aaron Fox and Davion Mitchell are, one, healthy, and two, playing well enough that you don't necessarily need DiVincenzo. But also, DiVincenzo is a hybrid enough, agile enough, he can play the two. He actually started his career in the NBA primarily as a two before moving to a point guard position, which he's played point guard for the majority of his career, but he is definitely capable of playing shooting guard. If the Kings need defensive stops and defensive lineups at times, they can play Fox and Dellavedova next to each other, or Mitchell and Dellavedova next to each other if they really need to try and get some defensive stops or they're getting killed in the backcourt. I don't expect Dellavedova to be as active defensively now at 32 years old as he was when he was in his early to mid-20s when he first came into the league, but I definitely think he can make a defensive impact for the Kings. I like this signing, and I don't really see any reason to be concerned about it. I also don't think it matters that much, and I say that with full awareness of how that can sound insulting. I'm not trying to say that Matthew Dellavedova can't make a difference for the Sacramento Kings, but again, this is a third point guard signing. He is an insurance policy, and he's a damn good insurance policy in that. The best part about this signing, like I said, is the fact that the Kings are continuing their pattern of listening to and keeping Mike Brown's desires and his input and his history in mind when building a roster. I'm really happy with this. I'm really cool with it. I'm not elated. I'm not trying to pretend that the NBA champion version of Matthew Dellavedova is coming to Sacramento, but he's a veteran leader. He's a veteran presence. He knows what it takes to win. He knows what it takes to be good defensively in this league. All of that can help the Sacramento Kings. So how are you feeling about this move? Let me know at MattGeorgeSack on gmail.com. You can email me there. You can follow me on Twitter and respond to me on Twitter at MattGeorgeSack, S-A-C, or you can get involved in the YouTube comment section down below. Speaking of another Kings point guard, the Kings point guard, De'Aaron Fox, I've teased a lot this week that I'm going to talk about what does De'Aaron Fox have to do to be an all-star. We're going to touch on that when we come back after I tell you about a great sponsor here of the Locked On Kings podcast. I'm talking about BetOnline. BetOnline.net is the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. You can find all your favorite sports and events at the number one source for online gambling, lines, games. They have it all. Find reviews and news of every single league, including Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, NHL, combat sports, esports, and even golf. With football starting to ratchet up, college football as well, get ready because it's going to be a lot of fun over there. Plus, they have a ton of great prop bets and future bets going on with the Sacramento Kings and with the NBA right now. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports wagering information, from live in-game betting, scores, and podcasts. They have you covered. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more about the action happening right now at BetOnline, where the game starts. What does De'Aaron Fox have to do to be an all-star? It's a complicated question with a very simple answer. Very simple answer. We all know how much pressure is on De'Aaron Fox this season, right? I've talked time and time again about how De'Aaron needs to start next season and needs to avoid the slow starts like he's pretty much been known for throughout his career to this point. He and the rest of the Sacramento Kings have to hit the ground running. He is still going to take the Kings as far as they're going to go, even with a two-time All-Star in Domantas Sabonis now here and the improvements that the Sacramento Kings made this offseason. The Kings have built a team that theoretically, on paper, completely complements De'Aaron's game. But if your guy that you're trying to complement is not performing up to his capabilities or up to what you need him to perform, you're going to fail. So Fox should be feeling the pressure. I know he feels the pressure. I also think that pressure, for the cliche, pressure creates diamonds. That pressure brings out the best in professional athletes. And I think this pressure is going to bring out the best in De'Aaron Fox. I think we are going to be very pleased and very excited by what we see from number five on game one of this season. But to be an all-star as a point guard is extremely difficult to do. I mean, there are so many names that are almost guaranteed to be in the All-Star game just for basic principle, right? Like they just have to be in there. We're talking about guys like Steph Curry. Maybe Dame Lillard is on that list for you. Chris Paul, like these guards, these point guards, Devin Booker, he's more of a two guard, but still these guards are almost guaranteed to be in the NBA All-Star game to some extent. So De'Aaron has to do something or be so good that you have to feel like you need to take either one of those big names out or you need to make a spot to put De'Aaron in. I don't think De'Aaron's ever going to be an all-star starter, mostly because that has to do with popular vote. And in Sacramento, De'Aaron's not going to get that popular vote. That's just the reality of the situation. He's not. So De'Aaron being an all-star starter, I don't think is realistic, so we're not even going to talk about it. But De'Aaron Fox being an all-star reserve, very possible. Very possible. I think he's very capable of doing it. But what has to happen in order for it to happen? There's a bunch of things that he needs to do individually, but it all centers around one simple thing. The Sacramento Kings have to win games. That's it. That is it. De'Aaron Fox can put up phenomenal numbers, but if we come to All-Star break and the Sacramento Kings are a below 500 team, he's not going to make it. He can put up all the highlights in the world. He's in Sacramento, unless he's playing the Lakers. And even then, SportsCenter's probably not showing it, right? They're going to show Lakers highlights even if the Kings beat them by 10. It drives us crazy. De'Aaron needs to impact the win column, and that is the main thing for him to be an all-star. If the Sacramento Kings are an above 500 team when we're approaching the all-star break, he has a chance. If they're at 500 or below 500, I don't think he has a shot. That's how difficult it is to be an all-star point guard. Like, the Kings have to be 5+ games over 500 around the all-star break for De'Aaron to genuinely have a chance. I really firmly believe that. And in addition to that, Fox has to be putting up all-star numbers, right? If the Kings are an above 500 team, it's going to be because of De'Aaron Fox. Like, I could see a scenario, I guess, where Domantas Sabonis is your leading scorer, but I don't think that's realistic. If the Sacramento Kings are going to be at the win-loss record that they need to have an all-star, especially now to all-star guard, it's going to be because their all-star guard is taking them that far. So De'Aaron has never averaged more than 26 points per game a season. And 26 is damn good, right? But maybe that number needs to go up to 27 or 28, which, by the way, he's very capable of doing. Because last season, he took a dip down to 23 points per game on average. But the second half of the year, or really from the trade deadline on, the handful of games that he played after the Sabonis trade, he was averaging 28 points per game during that time. His three-point shooting percentage went from 27% season average, or right around the high 20s, to the mid to high 30s. I think he was at like 36, 37% from three-point range. Again, that's a short period of time, but he's showing he's capable of scoring and shooting at a high rate, at a high level. If De'Aaron Fox is averaging 27, 28 points per game, the Sacramento Kings should be a very good team. And what's great is now, on nights that De'Aaron isn't averaging that much, the Kings can still win because they have more help for him. They have guys like Sabonis can take over. We know Harrison Barnes is capable of going for a 20 or maybe even 30 piece every once in a while. I think Keegan Murray is capable of going for a 20 or 30 piece once or twice during his rookie year. Malik Monk can get hot. Kevin Huerter can get hot. We've seen Davion Mitchell get hot as an offensive player at the end of last season. The Kings have help for De'Aaron. But being an all-star is an individual accomplishment. It's an individual accomplishment, even though a lot of him becoming an all-star relies on the team doing well. Because if the team is doing well, it's because De'Aaron is taking them that far. The only way, it's like a Coach of the Year award, right? The only, or even Executive of the Year award. The only way De'Aaron Fox is an all-star is if the Sacramento Kings are an above 500 team around the all-star break. And maybe you might hear that and go, well, then De'Aaron's not going to be an all-star because that's going to be tough. I don't think it's impossible, but you're damn right, it's going to be tough. That's what De'Aaron Fox has to do to be an all-star. That means a consistent three-point percentage, hopefully in the mid to barely upper 30s, 36, 37% would be phenomenal. And again, he shot 37% his second year in the league from three-point range, although that's the anomaly when you look at the rest of the seasons in the mid to low 30s. Mainly low to really low 30s. His defense need to be significantly more engaged. These aren't things that, like, when selecting for the All-Star team, they're not going to analyze De'Aaron Fox's defense. Is De'Aaron Fox a better on-ball defender? He is perfect. Put him in the All-Star game. No, it's De'Aaron Fox's on-ball defensive improvement that is hopefully going to lead to Sacramento Kings winning more basketball games. And it's not just De'Aaron, it's the team as a whole. But if the team is playing better defense, if De'Aaron's playing better defense, leading by example there, while also putting up the offensive numbers that we expect from him with the improved overall offense of the Sacramento Kings roster, the Kings, that is how they have a chance of being a above 500 team. And De'Aaron's going to have to carry them there. And if he does, that's how he becomes an All-Star. I don't see any other route for him. Do you think it's possible, De'Aaron Fox being an All-Star this year? Let me know. At MattGeorgeSack on Twitter. Email me, MattGeorgeSports@gmail.com. Leave your thoughts in the YouTube comment section down below. I want to share with you an experience that I had at a Sacramento sporting event this week that made me a little bit emotional. And if you're a Sacramento Republic FC fan, you probably know and maybe recognize the hat that I'm wearing. And I want to share with you a question that I have that's going to be a main topic of conversation on the next podcast, but I want to throw it out to you because I want to hear your thoughts on it. That's coming up in just a second. The Sacramento Republic FC are the professional, not semi-pro, they're a professional soccer club here in Sacramento, although they don't play for the MLS, which is Major League Soccer, the main professional soccer league in the United States. They play in the USL Championship, which is, some call it the minor leagues. It's really not. It's not like AAA to the MLB. It is a lower division of professional soccer, but not by a whole lot. The USL is catching up to the MLS. Now, MLS, they have bigger stadiums, bigger names, bigger payrolls, things like that. But the USL has a lot of talent. The Sacramento Republic are one time, they are USL champions. And right now they are competing in the U.S. Open Cup. Now, you might not be a soccer fan, but stick with me here. The U.S. Open Cup is a professional soccer tournament in the United States in which, and I might be getting the verbiage wrong here, but as far as I understand, all organized semi-professional soccer clubs in the United States are eligible to compete in this tournament. The Sacramento Republic are in the final. They've made it to the U.S. Open Cup final against Orlando City FC, and that's an MLS squad. That match is going to be in September in Orlando. But in order to get there, the Republic have defeated three straight MLS sides. They defeated the San Jose Earthquakes a couple months ago. Then they went to L.A., defeated the L.A. Galaxy. Then, on their home turf at Heart Health Park this week on Wednesday night, they defeated Sporting Kansas City, who are four-time U.S. Open Cup champions. I was at that match. That match was sold out, nearly 12,000 Sacramento fans. Now, I know soccer is a very different sport from basketball. I'm sure many of those 11,000 Sacramento Republic fans were also Sacramento Kings fans. It's a different environment. But I have to tell you, being out there, I was covering it for ABC 10, but I've also watched and been around Republic Soccer for basically every single year of its existence. That night was a reminder to me of the passion of this city and how much this city deserves to be champions. Like, outdoor stadium, small in comparison to other MLS stadiums, small in comparison to the Golden One Center, but loud, rowdy, fun, festive. And of course, the Republic ended up winning that match in penalties. Like, it was an incredible atmosphere. And it made me, one, emotional because I'm born and raised, well, not born, but I'm raised in Sacramento. This is my home. It's been my home basically my entire life. I love this place. I'm so proud of this place. I'm proud of the fans of this place. Proud to call myself one of the fans here in this city. But in addition to that, it was very easy to imagine what this crowd would be like with a few more thousand on top of that inside the Golden One Center and the thousands outside the Golden One Center in the downtown commons if the Sacramento Kings, not if, when the Sacramento Kings make the playoffs again. If the Sacramento Kings ever won a championship. It made me emotional thinking about it. I had a phenomenal time, and I just wanted to share that a little bit here at the end of the podcast because it was a reminder to me, and I'm always reminded. You even get flashes of a regular season game in the middle of February when the Kings are 10 games under 500, and for some reason, the crowd is still active and rowdy and excited inside the Golden One Center. It's something that's just very unique and special to Sacramento. And I'll never take it for granted. I'm very thankful for it. If you were there at that match, please let me know. If you watched that match, if you're not following it, watch the final in September. Again, I don't expect you to go to Orlando to watch it, but watch it on ESPN Plus or ESPN 3. Watch it. And support Sacramento sports, because we're all together in that, right? In addition to that, back to Sacramento Kings talk. Are the Sacramento Kings all in this season? Are they all in or not? And really think about what all in means. I'm going to share with you my thoughts on if the Sacramento Kings are all in this season or not. And if it fails, sorry to even bring this up, but if it fails, like many expect it to fail based off of the Kings' history, where could the Kings possibly go from here? That's going to be the topic of next Locked On Kings podcast. Plus, I have more great guests coming. If you missed my conversation with Dave Deuce Mason from the Deuce and Mo podcast on my last episode, go and check that out. Had a lot of fun with him. Really appreciate we are in the bare bones of the NBA offseason. You're sticking with me, and I really appreciate it. Thank you for your continued support. Can't wait to have you join me on the next episode. Until then, my name is Matt George. You have been listening to Locked On Kings, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.